God had a chance through good people stacking hands in my life to intervene and to excavate the immaturity and the junk and the superficial posing that was there and to bring it to the surface where it needs to be, right? So that I can literally look at that and go, God, help me with that. Father me through this. I need some help with this stuff. And give it to Him. And let Him begin something new. And a new foundation. Where new work can start and a new kingdom can begin. Kingdom work. Stuff that's way outside of what I can handle. Or way outside of what I can control. Right? Y'all tracking with me? People just love to control. But when you let go, and God begins new kingdom work, something that He controls, something new starts there. Amen? Oh, that's it. And I love that. Well, the guys were kind of playing a video here that, I don't know, that was interesting. Even Darth Vader made it into the video. It was just fascinating. We have a big event coming up, and somehow, I don't know if it's going to work or not, Nacho, anybody here ever seen Nacho Libre? Nacho, all right, let's roll the film here. He makes it into a baptism, at least a beach baptism every year. I got to do this. And roll film, guys. Oh, every year when beach baptism, that's right, Nacho finds his way. I want to encourage you guys that this is church-wide, okay? I mean, if you're following Christ, if you're seeking Christ, if you've been sold out to Him for decades, maybe you remember your baptism as a very young person. This is for all ages, all family. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right. And we want the entire church to know you are invited. You catch that? The entire church, from the youngest to the oldest, from the 8:30 to the 10:30 to the 6, to those that go to Singing Waters, you're all invited. Those of you that may attend Catholic Mass, you're a believer in Jesus, you want to come, come. It's down at the park, right here at the foot of the hill and to the right over by the little radio station. Can't miss us. We'll be down there at 12:30. And lots of food, there'll be music, and of course, baptism. All right? Now, in your bulletin, you have something that looks like this, all right? And this is really for you, but mostly for our staff, for the pastoral team. We already have 4 from this service that want to be baptized. Isn't that cool? Give it up for Jesus, man. That's what He's doing. And I'm telling you that story is going to be the focus of this event. What is your story? How did it connect with God's story? And my goodness, how did it connect with my neighbor's story? I just heard of one this morning where for a week, these two had just met each other and someone shared their story and someone else said, I want that. I want that for me. And baptism's already being talked about. Isn't that cool? That's where this comes together and that's where the church fellowship truly begins. And then, of course, discipleship follows right after it. A very strong couple of biblical purposes and we're going to nail them, man. Fellowship is where it's at. The enemy is all over this too. I mean, whenever you do something for God, right? There's opposition. Man, pray against the opposition. But also, be excited. Baptism is something to be excited about. When the believers come together, look in Acts. It was a celebration. And we're going there. We're going there. This right here, though, helps us out. Circle the service that you attend, whether it's 8:30, 10:30, or 6. Some of you go to lots of them, or all of them. And let us know your story, that you're interested in being baptized. That's what this is for right here. And you can hand it to me, or you can give it to one of our staff that are working around here in the front or the back of the building. And we're going to call you this week and hear some of your story and tell you what to expect for baptism. Sound good? Okay. For those of you who have been baptized and you want to attend and you'd like to bring food, we need food. When you have people, you got to have food, all right? There'll be a clipboard outside in the lobby there it is, with Carol Ann, who's got it. A lot of folks have signed up for food, and we need that because we need a lot of food. This is what's coming up. I remember at a beach baptism, first of all, 3 out of 4 of my kids were baptized at the beach in one of these celebrations. I got a shot here of my daughter Maddie when she was really little, and we brought her as a candidate before the congregation to hear some of her story, and she was look at her face. She's focused, you know. A lot of people, she was so small I had to stand her up on a cooler so everyone could see her. And I just shared, let her share a little bit of her story, and then I held the microphone to her. My favorite question, is Jesus the Lord of your life? And she's like, yeah. Real teeny and small, but bold in her faith. Baptism is not salvation. Just like this ring that I wear here is not my marriage, but it is a symbol of something larger that Jesus has done on the inside. Amen? He has saved you inside, and outwardly you want to express that I'm taking a stand for Him, and today's my day. Entire families can be baptized together. Husbands and wives, moms and dads, and sons and daughters. And it's an exciting time. Think about it. Ask God what He would have for you, and let's chat about it. Does that sound good? It's next week. I just want to let you know there's a lot there. This has been a crazy week for me. I'm still on Florida time. Just when I got used to Florida time, I come back to California. I had a chance to see my folks. And yes, they've been married 67 years. This was their week. And I had a very cool sponsor that flew me down there. And I did not even have it on my radar 1 week beforehand. And there I got to be a part of that. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Dad is and Mom are sitting at 90, and he's very frail. He's very thin. But if you put them together, they're thick. That's how I see it. Because they stick to, they get together, there's lots more to hug. So I'd hug them both at the same time. I'm thankful for that, and I'm also thankful for your prayers. We're going to chat about this today. It's actually in the message. There is a lot going on behind the scenes. People going, Andrew, you need to be at this event. You may not have a whole lot more event. This is a big event. You need to go. And I heard this morning from one of our workers here, our frontliners, Irene, telling me about somebody in Green Bay that's praying for this service that is involved in another church service there. They're praying for this service here. Isn't that cool? Behind the scenes. Let's get into it this morning. If you're visiting today, welcome to Avalon Community Church. Welcome to our 10:30 service. We handed you guys something that looks like a really cool shot of the island, but on the back is an outline. Feel free to follow along with that or help you pay attention. We also have some special guests with us today. It's so exciting. And we're going to introduce them in just a few minutes. Today is part four of this series called How to Increase Your Confidence. And I'm calling it What God Does That We Can't See. And it's hard to even call something that because technically, to call it that, I'm labeling it, saying I can see it, but sometimes I just can't because I'm in the middle of it. It hits a nerve, though, and this series has hit a pulse. The place has been packed each week. Conversations are coming out of this like I've never heard before, and to follow it with baptism is just unreal. It's hit something that's important to you because so many lives live with a lack of confidence. You see it all around this town. We've talked about it. I see it this weekend as I try to say hi to people. Sometimes they have a hard time making eye contact. I see it in Front Street on high school campuses, watching people just walk around, even people that are interviewing for a position. Sometimes I'll hear from managers. They had a great personality. They just didn't seem to have the confidence, or they lacked the confidence. We know that people lack that because of the importance of groups and cliques and gangs and clubs and being on teams. People will join these things because all of a sudden there's confidence in numbers. I know that people, though, lack confidence because they won't technically walk through our door unless sometimes they're with a group. You know, when you're invited, it's better to come with someone. Maybe you're invited today. There's confidence in that. But many people lack confidence just to live life. Just to get up in the morning. Even here in Avalon, this beautiful town, people struggling to just get up and get out there, as they say. Last week I read that letter from a 38-year-old woman who wrote saying, I have no confidence. She had made some tough decisions and struggled to get back to the love of her mom and dad at 38 years of age. So it's not just a teenage thing. It's not just a young person struggle. Without confidence, though, we paralyze, we shorten our life. This week, I had a chance to chat with Matt, who is sitting in the back there at our sound booth. There he is. Matt works with the kids. He's great. And I said, oh, there he is. All 150 pounds of pure Hulk back there. And big guy, I said, what are you scared to death of? Would it be roaches? Would it be spiders? What would it be? You know, big guy. And he's like, really, not a whole lot tangible. But if you could only believe that at night when my mouth is open, I wonder what might go in my mouth or what might be crawling into my food at night, right? Big Matt back there, strong, a confident guy. But when he pulls a blonde hair out of his mouth and it just keeps going, and you watch him, he's just like, ugh, you know? Doesn't take much. Anybody else, a certain bug will get you? Kids, anyone scared of a certain bug? Yeah? Yeah, he's right there. He's got this, okay? Yeah, but at night, I know for me it was a tornado hitting in the dark. In the state of Florida, man, these squall lines would come through in the middle of the night. I'd be like, where's this thing going to drop? I'll never forget it. But we laugh at that. But many of us walk with our heads down in life. And these things develop over time, and we lack confidence to really live, to make something meaningful. And I look at Matt and laugh, and I say, hey, that's no way to live. I think God looks at us and says, that's no way to live, Andrew. I have created you to move forward. You're an original masterpiece. You're not a carbon copy. And as a result, you don't have to be a fake. You don't have to live with shame and have your head down. You're an original. I've got your back. And if you're a Christian, what I'm going to talk about really should excite you. What God is doing when you can't see Him. Behind the scenes. And if you're not a Christian, I'm thrilled that you're here. You're genuinely seeking out the truth. And I want you to see that God's doing something in your life. He is behind the scenes working right now to see what God wants to do, and He wants to get your attention this morning. He does. Look at your outline. My confidence grows when I understand this, that God is working behind the scenes. Go ahead and write it in. If you don't have a pen, we'll get you one. There's guys that have pens around here, okay? Otherwise, write that in. No one here would disagree with the things that happened behind the scenes. Many years ago, when Indiana Jones came out, huge movie, big movie theater. Anyone Indiana Jones fans? Yeah, we got a lot of them in here. Big, thrill-seeking movie, adventure-packed. You know, I really was like, no way. This thing came alive. And then all of a sudden, after the films came out all the little behind-the-scenes shots of what was really going on to get him to, you know, do the things he was doing. And the small models they used for this, the backup guy that was to Indiana Jones, they actually had a look-alike. And what you've never thought about, I'll bet you, is do you have any idea of what's happening behind the scenes at this church? Okay? Things are moving. There is at least today a dozen people that meet and are working, some of which met earlier this morning in this room, right next door to the little prayer chapel, and we're praying for you. There's meetings throughout the week, guys getting together, ladies getting together, they're praying for this service. You have no idea that you're here as a result of answered prayer. Pretty cool. Behind the scenes, stuff is happening all week long to put the sound together, to make the computer work. It crashed this morning, they got it together as fast as I've ever seen it. This thing needs to function. It's God's church, and it's run by the Holy Spirit and by people that are volunteers. And they come out. Life is happening behind the scenes. The band are working throughout the week. There's guys preparing in the kitchen for a big breakfast and that food that's going on down there. The temperature, just to make sure this is right. The church bulletins. Natalie's working all week printing out things, double-checking with the pastors. Is this what you really want? Is this what's going on here? The sermon outlines, the input in the computer, the announcements, the video that they made this week, the handouts, it's all coming with a group of people behind the scenes. We come here and just kind of see it. And we don't think of the stuff that's really happening to prepare for it. It's a lot of work. And it's a lot of fun. Especially when it's a family that's doing it. It's a celebration. And when it comes together and someone says, man, I want to receive that gift. And man, I'm interested in baptism. That is a celebration. Of all of that stuff going on behind the scenes. It's even bigger with our life. We can see what's happening behind the scenes in movies. I can tell you what's happening behind the scenes at our church. God's working behind the scenes in your life. Look at this verse, whether you see it or not. Great verse here. Romans 8, 29 through 30. For God knew his people in advance. Check that. He chose them to become like his son. Underline, become like his son. That's God's goal for us. If you're new Christian, that's actually the goal of Christianity. That's it right there. To become this. That you and I would become like his son. Will we ever become perfect? The answer is no. We won't become perfect. Some religions teach that you will become perfect. That you will become a god. The answer is no. Okay? Bottom line. But God's working behind the scenes to make us like his son. God's working behind the scenes to change my character. God's working behind the scenes to make sure you and I mature. It's one of the reasons I put on your notes every week, moving towards maturity. We're trying to get there. God's working behind the scenes to change our character. That's his plan. Why does he want us to know this? Think about it, that question. Why does he want us to know that? Because many of us get depressed when we think about our sin. We struggle with the same sin over and over again. When am I ever going to tackle this thing? When am I ever going to get over this substance abuse, this addiction, this bad habit, stealing, lying? And we focus on that, and God says, hey, I'm working. I'm behind the scenes in your life. You'll be more and more like my son. Let me get involved. God's plan is that you and I would become a loving, incredible person of Christ. That's God's plan for us. Here's what I've talked to some of you about in your view of God. You believe this. I've told you that the spiritual life is uphill, okay? And it is. It is uphill. It's not easy to be a Christian. We're kind of walking through this journey. As a Christian, it's uphill, and God is at the top of the hill shouting down like some of you feel like it's boot camp. Come on, you slacker. Get up here and grow. Come on, you wuss. I can't believe it. You come to church every week. You can't grow faster than that. You stink. That type of thing. That's their view of God. That he's just kind of yelling at us. And commanding us. That wasn't fun for me to say. I know that wasn't fun for you to hear. But people actually think of God up there, just calling out orders. Hard. My view of God is right out of the Bible. That's where we go. God's behind us going, come on, let's go. You can grow. You can work out. I'm about changing you. Folks, he's working behind the scenes to help us grow. Once we understand that God is for us, that leads to confidence. That is going to help us grow. Who is God really behind the scenes? What does he really prompt us like? Those words are huge. I was thinking about this yesterday when my youngest son, who is way larger than all the other kids, and I mean big guy, when he was young and he played soccer, when little kids play soccer, they're bad. It's just terrible. It's so fun to watch. Amen? Oh my gosh, is that fun to watch. But I'll tell you what, when they're little, they're just twisting their shirt, they're dancing, they're just kind of all over, and everyone's screaming, kick it, go! You know, parents are yelling on both ends. Then you have the coach telling them what you really should do. Like they're supposed to figure this all out. I remember one time my son had a fast break. He just came out of this beehive. And he had the ball, and he was going right to the other goal, heading right for the goal, no one in his way. And he stopped and walked over, and he said, Dad, tie my shoe. Fast break all the way down there. I'll never forget it. I've told people, man, you want a creative date? You want a date creative, some of you young people? Go up to Machado Field and sit there on a Sunday afternoon with a chair and just watch the Pee Wee League soccer. That is so fun. Just watch it. That's a really fun thing to do. Just watch little kids and what they do, their antics. It's really great. Just take something with you and go watch it. I was thinking, what if I had a bag of soccer balls on my back? And during this practice where the kids were, you know, tie my shoe and all this stuff's going on and they're picking their nose, they're holding themselves, everything's strange, and they're doing all this, and I start throwing soccer balls at their face every time they do something wrong. Better yet, I just start throwing cleats at them. You know? I just start hitting them. And if they don't run in the right path, they miss a shot, I'm behind them, I'm just pegging them. Do you think I'm going to help them develop as soccer players? You know? I get these fifth graders that want to be the team managers because they can't be on the team yet until ninth grade, but they want to learn. How am I going to treat that manager in fifth and sixth grade? Do you think they'll ever make it to the ninth grade and want to play if all I do is like, pick this up, go get that. Hey, you're slacking, you know? You laugh at that, but that's what some of you think God is like, that God carries this chair. He's like our Bobby Knight up there, just the cosmic soccer balls and throwing chairs around. He's just there to pop you with this thing. The Bible is very clear. He is not a Bobby Knight. He is not up there, and he's not bashing you. Look at this great verse, Philippians 1:6. Look at it. I am sure that God who began, circle began, the good work within you will continue, circle continue, his work until it's finally finished, circle finished. On that day when Christ Jesus comes back again, three words circled, began, continued, finished. That verse is loaded. I don't care what age you are, you can understand that. God is doing something inside of me, and it's not done yet, and it's going to take some time. Rewind my life back 30 years, all the way back to when I was in 11th grade. I was a total nerd. Full of questions. What am I going to do? Senioritis out the wazoo. Where am I going to go to college? Is my future wife out there somewhere? What's this look like? Till a good friend of mine, Scott Grizzard, led me to Christ. We went windsurfing together, went out to an island of all places, a very small island in Florida, and just sat there talking. This guy realized that I had the knowledge of Jesus in my head, and I knew that he was God's son. It was in my head, but nothing personal in my heart. No relationship. Just like a historical figure type thing. But nothing personal. And my friend Scott began to break down my fears. And I handed them to Jesus that afternoon. And my friend Scott, in 11th grade, led me to Jesus. On an island, of all places. And I look back and I went home and I said, man, I want what my friend Scott has. But 30 years later, he is continuing that work and continuing to grow me and help me mature until he's finally finished. When will he be finished? When I'm dead. Okay? Seriously. When I meet Jesus face to face. And still, until that time happens, it's a process. I'm on a spiritual journey of growth. Some of you are sitting here saying, that's great, but God's not working behind the scenes of my life. That's not what's happening to me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just a matter of perspective. Okay? If you were to look at your watch and look at your hour hand on your watch, and for some of you, you've grown up in the digital life here, but a lot of us that have tours that we've done, or you're a diver, other things, you need the two different hands. You need the analog versus the digital, okay? And I were to say, hey, look at your hour hand and say, watch it move. Would you see it move? Hours later, you'd see it move. You'd be focusing on, you know, the minute hand or the second hand. You'd be looking at it. You'd see that move. Sometimes we look at our lives the same way. We go, I'm not growing, okay? Back up a little bit. You are growing. Are you more like Christ today than you were a year ago? Do you have more joy than you had before? Less anger. More peace. Maybe your language has improved. Are you thinking about things that you would have never thought of before? I was talking literally to a senior at this coaches meeting we just went to. And her coach said, I've had this girl for 4 years. Capo Valley Christian School is the name of the school. And this girl was a hellion in the ninth grade. Horrible situation. Someone led her to Christ in her ninth grade year, and she finished strong, man. In her senior year, we had to play against them. And that wasn't easy for an opposing coach to watch that girl play like she did. And
I had to look at that coach and just say, slam dunk, coach. Well done. And she just backed off and said, it wasn't me. It was her youth pastor. She received Christ going into the 10th grade. And for three straight years, she busted this stuff out. Great relationships. Just got accepted to Azusa Pacific University. Girl's life over 3 years changed radically. But if you were to stop her at any one point in time and say, hey, are you growing in Christ? She'd say, I don't know. It's been overwhelming. And that's what she said. It's been overwhelming. God's working behind the scenes. And we gave her MVP of our league this year. Some of you come up after a message and you say, after church, this message really hit me, okay? Did you plan for that just for me? I'll say, sure, yeah. I was tapping your phone lines, okay? No. But when you tell me this, I look at you and I will say, congratulations. The Holy Spirit is at work and you're paying attention. And when you tell me something affected you, something impacted you, something touched you, all I can say is that God is the one that has done that behind the scenes, not me. He's the one that's been working. Biblical truth, you got a fan. God is working behind the scenes, and you've got someone who is a fan cheering you on. Folks, that's exciting, okay? When you understand that, you play life differently. It just goes differently. The students on my team, if their parents drop them off at Machado Field and nobody is there to cheer them on, they play a lot differently than when their entire family shows up and everybody and their school classmates show up, their grandparents, their neighbors, everybody's cheering them on. They play like I've never seen them play before. Sometimes they get out of control. Yellow cards start flying, and even red cards, because they're wanting to put on such a performance in front of their parents. It just steps up the game. They're having so much fun. It's a lot different. I want to tell you about something going on behind the scenes. By letting someone else share here, because this service that's going on has a second service happening at the exact same time. There is a wonderful group of people that are dedicating their time. And behind the scenes, I just want you guys to know you've got a fan. And I want you to be a fan of them. I want you to seriously know that church, as it should be, is going on downstairs. I'm going to let my wife come up here and introduce the children's ministry and tell you what's happening downstairs. This is cool behind-the-scenes stuff. Let's give them a welcome because they're sitting right over here.
All right. Good morning. So we are going to have the kids come up and share a song. But before we do, I would like to ask Miss Kathy Patterson to come up. So Kathy is a very amazing woman. She's been serving downstairs with the toddlers, which are the young ones. Not the babies, but almost babies. So I messaged Kathy earlier this week and asked her to be prepared for a couple of questions because we want to share with you guys kind of what's going on down there and what motivates someone to basically lay down their life to be in God's service, to bless kids, all right? Kids matter, don't they? I hope you understand that. I hope you believe that. I hope you are on board with that because they do to me, they do to us at this church, and obviously they do to you, Kathy. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. First of all, how long have you been serving downstairs?
Well, my math isn't perfect, but I think it's probably been about 15 years.
Wow.
15 years. And why do you do it?
Well, I think there's a few reasons. I grew up in the church, and I went to a Christian grade school, and I was the best at onward Christian soldiers. I mean, we marched, and we had fun. Yes, absolutely. And then as a young mom, I had a wonderful son. I loved being a mom, but he was an active boy. And we just, you know, it just didn't work so great for me to be sitting down and him in the service. So if he could be with his, you know, people in his age group, that seemed to work out really well. And then I think the last thing that I like here is I see some of my former students, and that's such a blessing. blessing. You know, they're in church, and some of them aren't here anymore because they've left the island. They've graduated. I've even seen them get married.
Wow. That's awesome. Thank you. All right. So do you have, I'm going to give the mic over to you, to share a special memory or an encouragement for somebody in this room who might be thinking, kind of tottering on the fence, should I go downstairs and serve with them? If you do, by the way, we don't, like, steal your life from you. We just ask for, like, one service a month if you are willing to offer that. We have several in this church who are doing that. It's awesome. Kathy, how often are you downstairs?
On the first and the third Sunday.
Okay, twice a month. Very nice. All right, so stay here. Santa, would you come up, please? And, yeah, you can bring the kids. And Mr. Herps, yay. As you guys, you may or may not know, but Miss Santa and Mr. Herps have been sharing their lives with the children for years as well. And we did honor Wayne and Carol a few months ago for their long-time service. Come on up. Okay, thank you so much, everyone, Andrew, for bringing what goes on downstairs, upstairs. We're blessed to be a part of it because we love hearing the music up here, and we finally got to be up here and sing with you guys. I loved it. It was awesome. Miss Kathy, I just want to say on behalf of myself, Mr. Herps, and I, and all the children that you've invested for all these years, when we asked Kathy to start, I started with her in 2008. I never thought we'd still be doing it. Well, I knew I would be, but I wasn't sure how often she was going to be doing it. And I just want to say you're an incredible person. I love your spirit. You bless me, you encourage me so much. You are low maintenance to have on the team. And I know every child that gets to be in your presence is blessed. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. That's awesome. Okay, well, we're going to rock, so everybody get up on your feet. I always tell the kids, you don't want to be upstairs because we really rock downstairs. When you go upstairs, everyone just worships like this. And maybe a few of them do this. But when we're downstairs, we rock with our whole body, right? Right, kids? Okay, so I want you to get comfortable. We're kind of nervous because of all the stuff. Come down so they can see you. I want to get down low so that everybody can see you. Come on. Spread out. Okay, you have to do what we do. We're going to sing a song that goes right along with Andrew's message because God is working, and if we understand his great love for us, nothing else matters. When we know that we're his, we can conquer anything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? And I know we got a yeller in here. I love that yeller, man. He can sing. Who was the yeller? Let me hear a yell from the yeller. Yes, come on. Loved it, brother. I love it, brother. I love it. Okay, we're ready. Hit the music. We're going to do Jesus Loves You. Everybody sings with us. And everybody...
There's a light.
Wayne, thank you.
Next week, your worship better top this, okay?
Give me something. Santa.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sweaty. How cool is that? Well, that's what's going on behind the scenes. Let's close in prayer. It's easy to do that. But a lot of work. Did you hear what Kathy was saying? The preparation for the workers, for the kids, the papers that are going out there. And it's fun. It's fun. Work. Thank you. Hoping. You know what? When you do that for him, he's got your back. Jesus is there to defend you. God is working in my life to defend me. Spiritual battle. We talk about this a lot. It's really stuff that you hear in the Bible all over the place. Spiritual warfare. Good versus evil. God versus Satan. I'll try to simplify it like this. It's the world's way versus God's way. These children are being given the option for God's way. They have to choose. No one's forcing them. No one's forcing you. You have a choice. But you need to know that there is a choice. Amen to that. Because if you don't, wow. There's a spiritual battle over your soul. God wants you and the enemy, Satan, both. He doesn't want you to go to God. Satan wants you. Some of you here are checking this whole thing out going, what the heck? What's going on around here? People are singing. And Jesus. You know what? You may have to just back off at this point and jump in on the next point. But for those of you who are Christians, you need to realize there's a real spiritual battle that's happening right now. He wants those kids dead. I don't want to put a downer on the situation, but bottom line here is there is an enemy and there is a target on their back. And there's a target on your back. You get up in the morning. Are you reminded of the love of God? Can you feel a blanket going around you? Or a target on your back. Think about it for a minute. Some days can be like that. You need to realize there's a battle. But there's also a bully that's out there to get you. Almost all of us can relate to the bully. When I was in fifth grade, the bully that kind of picked on me, his name was Harlan. Always picking on me. He was just a punk. Couple years older than me, eighth or ninth grade, when I was in seventh. I was an athlete. He was kind of a doper type thing, okay? Just constantly not really into jocks. He and his friends would just make fun of guys cutting through, myself included. We lived in a beach community. I couldn't really get where I was going without going through 18th Street where he lived. And I struggled with liking this guy, period. I was walking by his house on my way home. He had a pit bull that he would put on a leash that would go right up to the edge of the grass, right up where the sidewalk was, just to drive you nuts. It wouldn't hit the sidewalk, but it would literally bark and threaten the heck out of you, saliva, you know, flying all over the place, the whole nine yards. As you were walking, you would walk in the street, and even though you knew you could walk on the sidewalk, you wouldn't. You would walk in the street. And he was constantly doing this. And one time, I was tired of this dumb dog yapping at me all day long. And as I walked home, I looked around. I didn't see Harlan anywhere. I had my backpack filled with books. I just smacked that dog. And as I did, I laughed. And then I looked over my shoulder, and I saw Harlan's buddy about 30 yards away, and he went right into Harlan's house. He saw the whole thing, okay? And I was like, oh, my gosh, I just took off running. Next day, I'm walking home. I see this dog yapping at the street, and I don't see any of the guys again while I'm walking by. These guys are hiding in the bushes. They've got an extra 15 feet of leash that they have opened up. They're holding on to it. As soon as I walk by, they're literally going to let go of this leash. Sure enough, that's what they do. They loved it. They thought it was funny. You know, that any time these guys pick on you and people laugh at you and the enemy's after you, where does it go? It goes right to your pride. That's where it goes. It goes right to you. There's no way I could get home without walking past his house. They would bully me the whole time. Until one day. I told my soccer coach about this. And he showed up. And when you're in seventh grade and your coach shows up like an old man, I'm telling you what. I told him what was going on. He said, let me walk home with you. Is this the house right here? I'm going, yeah, that's the house. You know, I'm just like, that's Harlan, you know?
No uncertain terms. Doper was sitting on his porch. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what was going to happen to me that day. But my buddy, the coach, walked right up to him and he said something. Those guys never messed with me again. Period. Zero. I was thinking to myself, I got a bodyguard. I'll never forget it. There was just trouble. Later on, they were going after my sister, and someone else intervened. But they never messed with me again. And as I think about that, every one of us can relate to that. Here's the reality. You've got a bodyguard in God. Look at Romans 8:31. Love this verse. What can we ever say about such wonderful things as these? Underline this. If God is for us, finish it with me, guys. Who can ever be against us? When I talk about this spiritual battle, picture Satan on a leash. I mean, if you're a pit bull owner, just go with me for a minute, okay? Like a pit bull on a leash, yapping. He can't get at you because you have a bodyguard in God. Okay? But even on a leash, they're not taking naps. They're thinking, I'm going to make this person literally go nuts in fear. I'm going to make them urinate on themselves. I'm going to scare them so bad. Satan's on a leash. He's coming after you. He's going to give you the biggest downer. He's going to put you in fear, and you're going to live like that. And for those of you who are Christians, Satan literally has lost you eternally. He has lost you forever. But now he can try to make you live in fear, so we become ineffective. He can't steal your salvation, but he'll turn right around and steal your witness, your effectiveness, your joy. He'll say, don't try to invite your friends to that church. Someone's going to label you. Don't even. Jesus freak. They're not going to like it. Satan's going to try to make you ineffective. You might as well not even be a Christian. He's on a leash, though. And God's working behind the scenes to defend you. We have a bodyguard. Number three, God's working in my life to get me. Not only is he working behind the scenes, not only is he defending you. Look at this great verse. Ephesians 1:3. Since God did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Circle everything, okay? God wants to give us everything we want. Here's your Ephesians 1:3 right here. And how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every, circle every, okay? Spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to who? That's right. That's what gives us the ticket. What is this? Gift us with every spiritual blessing. What are some of the spiritual blessings that are gifted to us? What are they? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I hear it. Joy, good. Self-control, excellent. Patience, well done. Yes, yes, both of those. Gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, strength. You can be forgiven of your past. There's strength in your future. You're present. It's an awesome gift. How about the Holy Spirit? Thank you. How about God's power? How about we've been adopted into his family? We have a Father in God. We've been made heirs to the riches. We are cared for. We're guaranteed all things will work out together for good. Why? To those who love God and are called according to his purpose in Proverbs. It's going to work out for good. We're guaranteed that God is on our side. All four parts. Stacy Felis shared last week. What a powerful story in a woman's life. This woman is serving down here at a restaurant. She's not just serving up food, my friends. She's serving up Jesus. She's a new creature. And I love week one. We talked about totally forgiven. Stacy shared about that. You can hold your head high. Week two, we said God wants to have a relationship with you. Not just leave you, you know, create this and back off. He wants a relationship with his creation. And then last week, we said God is with us in the midst of pain. And Stacy was sharing her pain that she had gone through and how God has helped deliver her through that pain personally, behind the scenes. And I've got a question. Pay attention, young person. Listen carefully. I get this question. If all that is true, if God is going to forgive me, if he is going to be that gracious to me, why don't I just live any way I want? Can I just party till my brains fry?
Can I destroy my life and live any way I want, then ask God for forgiveness? Let me give you something to think about. Jesus tells a story in 14:15. When the feast was ready, he sent his servants around to notify the guests that it was time to come to the feast. I got things to do. Excuses. Hey, you coming to the baptism next week? Coming to church today? Man, I had a long night last night. Excuses. Those that were invited made excuses. One said he just bought a field, wanted to go inspect it, so he just asked to be excused. Another said, I just bought 5 pair of oxen. I wanted to try them out, and I just couldn't attend. Another had just been married, so he said, I'm not coming. Servant quickly told the master of the feast what they said. His master was angry and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the city and invite who? The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. After the servant had done this, he reported, still room for more. There is more. There is more. We've got room. So the master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full. For none of those I invited first will get even the smallest taste of what I had prepared for them. You guys catching on? When I read that, I say, you don't have to attend. You don't have to live God's way. But I believe you're not going to get even the smallest taste of what God has in store for you. When you choose to live the world's way and you use your salvation that way, you're not experiencing life. Who knows if you're even saved? I can't judge your heart, but your actions do say a lot here. The Bible says you're experiencing death, pain, misery, consequences. God says, when you live my way, you're going to get a taste of life. I'm going to work behind the scenes. You can feast forever. I'm sharing that with a few of my friends right now as we're doing church, sharing in a feast. It's a beautiful thing as these children are singing, na, 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 na. Yeah, and they look over here and they're telling their friends. And as they get older, the pressure's on. Na, 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 and the sound dwindles. And maybe they're not looking because the world is creeping in. And as you get to be an adult, you're like, what was that song? Come back to your first love. Come back to that story. Come back to that VBS. Come back to that moment that person took the time. The Bible says you're experiencing these things, but man, there's so much more. There's so much more. What if I said there's a feast waiting for you? There's a feast. Don't eat out of the garbage disposal where you're picking from the fat and the bones. That's there. Look for the feast. Come to the feast. Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I want that. You don't know the hell that I live in. You don't know what's pained me. You don't know what it took just to get out here to this island. Jesus knows. And he says, I can be forgiven. Can I live any way that I want? God says, I prepared a feast. Come live the way I have for you. Come live the way I have for you. That's what you need to want. It's best for you. It's biblical truth. You've got a personalized banquet. It's on your outline. Some of you are choosing to eat the scraps and live in the garbage disposal. And the more you understand and appreciate the banquet that God has for you, the less you'll think about and be attracted to the garbage. And as we celebrate beach baptism next week and what God is doing church-wide here and the stories that come out, you will really understand that you don't want to live the world's way anymore. I want more of this family. And I need this family to grow. I'm going to show you an image that a woman made 1 week ago today. I know she's 35 and she has been tending to my folks. 1 week ago today, she shot this picture. Sent it to 7 different family members to share with their family for just life and the decisions that they have had to make in the gospel and in the good stuff that's there. A scripture, just studying scripture with his Awanas jacket on. It's etched in his brain, his passion for the Word of God. And in time, John has developed a passion for the Word of God. And he teaches it throughout the week and in his songs and working with the band here and in his home and to other men and men's ministry. This stuff is being planted into the youngest of the generation. I'm the youngest of three men. I don't know how long they have to live. I just know they've had a heck of a life. And whoever made that picture, I can't wait to meet them someday, maybe in the streets of gold. But they did a favor to me. Because just when I think of their frail bodies that are dilapidating, and they're just, it's a temporary body. That right there is holding on to what you've given me. And it's all about prayer. And they are feasting. They are feasting on the good, not the garbage. They fought to get to church. Physically, it's hard for them to get out of a car. It's hard for them to sit in a pew for very long. Blah, 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 blah. Excuse after excuse. And Dad busts it every morning, and they get up and they go. He doesn't care about excuses. He gets up and he goes, and he's been going for years, and 67 of them. From the little Methodist church they got married in to the little community church they attend a couple miles down the street. I don't know the pastor. I just know he's got a heck of a resource sitting there. I want that so bad. I want that. I can't even imagine living 67 years right now, much less being married that long. But I want it. I want to celebrate someday. And for some of you, maybe you don't have that situation with your parents, but guess what? You have a chance to start something new. You have a chance to begin a new generation. The old is gone. The future and the present, the feast is for you. Come to the table. Come and dine. Begin something new that says that old life is gone. And as baptism says, and you come up the old. God, we think about confidence. We have all these reasons in the world to be confident. We know that you're working behind the scenes in our life, defending us, loving us in such a way you want to gift us. God, I pray that we would walk out of here with confidence. Knowing that if you are for us, who could be against us? And that we can walk through life with confidence, knowing that we can defeat the enemy, live the way you want us to live with the confidence. We don't have to be a carbon copy of everybody else, but an original masterpiece. May we be different people as we as we embrace the truth that have been found in Scripture, and that's where we go every time. We thank you for your love. I pray for those that are thinking deeply about their next move and what it looks like. May they take the time in this week to get with people and talk to people, get with a pastor, discuss things in their life, and begin anew. In Jesus' name, amen.